Hey, Chicks in the Office listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This is State of Emergency.
What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Rhea and Fran giving you that Friday energy on a Monday. Francesca, how are we doing on this lovely Sunday afternoon? It's been a long weekend for you. Why don't you tell the ladies and gentlemen why?
Yeah, guys, just really tough weekend. It's like the typical your phone breaks and you kind of feel like you just cut off your hand. Like my phone broke Friday night. Like I woke up Saturday morning and it's just like frozen. It's stuck in the reboot mode. It has the black screen with the Apple logo, the white Apple logo, and it's just continually trying to reboot and it's totally stuck. I waited for it to die, thought maybe that would help, didn't do anything, plugged it in, still doing the same thing. So it was funny, and it's funny because Joe, he said that yesterday morning, he was just kind of watching me, like to see how like I was going to react, like if I would be okay. Like he was like, I didn't know if it was going to like ruin our whole weekend or like what was going to happen. And he was like, you know what? You responded a lot better than I thought you were going to. Like it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Like he thought I was going to like demand that I like go to the Apple store like right away. There's just nothing you can do at this point because Apple, you can't walk into a store. You have to have an appointment because of COVID. So like I made an appointment for the soonest that I could, which is Monday. So I've just been phoneless all weekend, which honestly, it's been kind of nice. Like and it's not totally off the grid, right? Like I have my computer, like I was looking at Twitter. It's just Instagram. Instagram, I have my two-factor on. So it's like when I log in, it sends a text to my phone, which is not working. So like I can't, it won't let me log in anywhere else. So haven't been on Instagram, Twitter I have on my computer. So just, you know, could see what everybody was talking about on Twitter and some football games. And other than that, just kind of been off the grid. Like I sent two messages on Twitter to you and to Casey, being like, if you guys need me for any podcast stuff, like I don't have my phone. What is very funny that I didn't realize, because I have Twitter on my, I had always gone back on my phone and couldn't find it. But I guess when I went on my computer, which I never have, because when do I ever message you on Twitter?
Never.
Our last Twitter messages are literally the first messages you ever sent me. In the history of our relationship.
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. That shit makes me crawl out of my skin and makes me like
it's
highly
so
embarrassed.
Good. It's
no,
so
no, no.
Good.
Francesca, please. I swear to God, if you start reading DMs, I'm going to hang up. Like I will shut the Zoom. I will shut the Zoom. I can't. There's stuff that like highly embarrasses me, and this is that kind of thing. I get very embarrassed. Please.
I'm not gonna read it. I'm just gonna say that it is from. We can date it. It's from January 24th, 2017. So we're almost to the 4-year anniversary of these messages. But it was very cute. You're reaching out about us like doing stuff together. Just so like we wouldn't have people were trying to, you know, pit us against each other, and you were like, we can try and do this so they won't try and do the whole rivalry thing. You were like,
stop. I know what I said. stop, Fran, please.
I won't say it, but it gave me a good chuckle.
Sorry,
everyone.
We've talked about this before. That's the thing.
We've never told
anybody before, I would be like, go ahead, read it. But every time we talk about it, I get painfully embarrassed. I don't know why. It's just one of those things that's take control of my body, and I get so embarrassed. But also, I'm pretty cute at the same time. That was very
so
sweet.
It was super cute. It was super cute, and I was very happy when you did that, because I didn't really know how we were gonna vibe. So when I was like, oh, she's game. She reached out. Now I don't have to make the first move. She made the first move.
Obviously, so big of me.
Yes.
You all should be shocked.
Yep.
And I started this.
But it was great. I loved it. But it was just funny when I, like, it was just, it took me back. It was like a time machine when I just opened Twitter to be like, literally to shoot you like a quick message to be like, hey, like my phone's broken, like just so you know. And I'm like, oh shit. Like, how are these our last messages on Twitter? These are the only times we've ever sent each other a message on Twitter.
That's bizarre, first of all. And also, I feel like it puts you back in such a weird space because you're like, oh my God, yeah. I feel like I'm back there. I'm 4 years ago. I haven't accomplished anything at this job, trying to start something. Such a weird feeling. But not having your phone is also a great feeling. You probably feel refreshed. It's always great to get away from your phone. I wish I could throw my phone out the window sometimes. So I'm almost a little bit jealous yours broke, except I've dealt with that before. So I'm not as well.
Yeah. Still a pain in the ass, but also kind of nice. Get a little bit of a break. And I also made sure that my mom knew that my phone was broken because I've turned my phone off before. And I always have my phone that the one time I did it like a few summers ago when I had first started dating Joe. And I was like trying to be all cool and like, yeah, like I'll leave my phone like at the house all day, like no worries. And my mom like straight up thought I was abducted. So that was.
Yeah, I know your family reached out to me,
calling me.
I didn't even know them. And they were calling me, DMing me. They were have you heard from Francesca? Something happened to her. I was like, are you? I texted Fran. I'm like, your family's contacting me. Like,
yeah,
that was before literally I knew the Marianos, like, though.
I know. It was like one day.
Now I'd be willing to
not having my phone.
I talk to your siblings often. No kidding, but like not kidding.
But also not kidding at all.
Yeah. I did something so embarrassing and I told you this weekend, remember? Oh, well, actually it was on Friday because you still had your phone.
Yeah.
And I texted Fran and I was like,
I forgot about this. Oh my God.
I did something so embarrassing and I need to get it off my chest because I can't live with the guilt anymore. So since I've told Francesca and I think I could tell everybody else now.
Yep.
As we all know, I've been trying to just like be motivated, you know, get right back into the right headspace. Actually cleaned my entire apartment top to bottom, throughout everything. Like the place is spotless. I love it in there now. Just really like trying to get going, you know, trying to stay motivated. And I was a little under the influence and I was scrolling on Instagram. And I've been rewatching season 5 of Love Island. And I saw Amber from Love Island's Instagram transformation post. Now, go look at her Instagram if you want to know what I'm talking about, because these transformation posts are insane. Yeah. And I, like I said, was a bit under the influence and literally under the influence because I ended up buying Amber's new workout plan called Amber Flex. When I tell you this workout plan is like any other simple workout plan you could find at the drop, the ones you know in the back of your head already for free because everybody knows these simple workouts in their head or on YouTube or literally on Instagram, anywhere on the internet, you can find these workout tips. And I paid $40 for it. I paid $40. I paid $40 to sign up for amberflex.com because I hate myself so much that I signed up for amberflex.com.
And now Amber looks amazing, but I was dying.
I got under the influence.
The funniest part of this was when I first saw her posting those Instagram posts, was number one, like, wow, Amber looks amazing. Number two, reading the caption and then getting to the bottom and it's like, if you're interested, like, please inquire at like blank email. And I was like, is Amber scamming people? Like, what kind of deal is this? Like, what's going on? Like, it seemed like a little shady that I was like, oh, I wonder like what this situation is. And I got to find out because you bought it.
I can't believe I fucking bought it. I would never in a million years fall for something like this. And yet I saw these transformation photos, which, by the way, when I read it too, I was like, that seems like a scam.
Yeah.
But then after like the fourth one that she posted, I was like, God damn, she lost a stone in 6 weeks. I don't even know what a stone is. Like, I had to look up after I bought it.
How much a stone is?
I was like, how much is a stone? Because she kept being like, I lost a stone in 6 weeks. Yeah. Now I want to lose a stone in 6 weeks. I completely fell under the trap, and I can't believe I didn't. But now it's like a 6 week program. And like I said, it's like any other workout that you would do. I now have to do it. There is no other choice besides
the only way to justify the purchase.
Me doing this, because what if I do it for 6 weeks and I'm fucking shredded at the end of it? Yeah. And then we're like, all right, Amber,
thanks,
flex
Amber.
On. Keep on flexing, because
Amber
you're
flex
doing a good
with
thing.
Like four X's.
Yeah, it can almost be a porn site. Like it's I don't recommend paying for that, but I'll let everybody know how it goes, because I'm going to do it now. I have to. I told Hank, he was like, all right, yeah, you got to do that now. There's no, you have no option. You can't pay for AmberFlex $40 and then just sit on your ass. Like if you, like you, I want to get in shape so badly, but I'm also so lazy that I paid for something, like almost thinking that if I, once I press play, I don't have to move and my body's just going to transform. As soon as the payment goes through, I'm fucking toned.
$40 to get shredded at a click of a button.
I paid $40 and I probably still won't get shredded.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
You
I started
know.
Drinking hot water with lemon this morning. It's the first day.
Is that part of the program?
No, that's something I've added into my own program. I saw Brody Jenner doing it, and I was like, what?
Hot water with lemon in the morning is fantastic.
Oh, is something you do?
I mean, honestly, I used to be an intern at this place in LA, and this guy came in, like this big, like important person, and he was like, can I have some hot water? And I was like, what? Like, who drinks hot water? Just that just seemed like the most pretentious thing.
No, hot water with lemon is fantastic. I do not do it. I should do it, but I do it on the times when I feel a little groggy, or like I feel like I'm getting sick, or like my throat is a little sore. Because it's very soothing with a little.
I saw Brody Jenner doing it, and I was like, you know what, Brody Jenner still looks so good. Like every day he looks so good, and now I don't know what Brody Jenner is doing.
You're just you're just being influenced left and right out here.
I just need to get to it, you know? Every week I'm like, it's 2021. 2021 started for me yesterday. It did. Mm-hmm. I cleaned my entire apartment. I made a charcuterie board. I made tacos. And I also made dessert.
Wow.
Okay? I put on a goddamn show in my apartment on Saturday night.
Domestic goddess.
And I'm a wifey. Yeah. And it feels good. But this is what happens. I do this like every other week. And then...
Did Hank bring home Jenna Atkins' book for you?
No, but I'm at the office right now. I'm gonna
take
get
it home with
no,
you.
No, I'm on it. I'm on it. I'm on it. I'm on it.
Guys, if you haven't read it yet, I highly recommend. And I know Jen was obviously on our show. We interviewed her and it was fantastic. I'm now on my second read of Blowing My Way to the Top by Jen Atkin, because now I like read it and was like, oh my God, I feel like I didn't even retain everything that she said. And now I'm going through it again and like highlighting shit. Like, Jen, I want Jen to be my life coach. Like, she just gives great advice. Like, I didn't really realize what I would be getting from the book, but there's so many great lessons to be learned and just like great things that she has in the book, and like how she stays motivated and organized and all of her goal planning that she does. Like, she always writes all of her goals down and everything that she does. Like, she just, it's a lot of great ideas. And I was starting to do some of it, so I want Rhea to do it with me. So I'm telling her to get on it.
I will. It's 2021 now. It actually happened on Saturday.
It really
during the
started.
New year. No, it really started. Like, it's you know, January 17th. It has begun. We're in it. I can't believe we're almost at the 1 year mark of when Corona happened. Like, it still feels like, a few months back when we started quarantine. Like, it's been a year. It's been almost a year. The babies are popping out now.
Yeah. From the beginning.
I saw people that I know that got pregnant and they're like, oh, quarantine baby. They're like, any day now. I'm like, oh my God, life really comes at you.
Yep. People are having like full blown getting pregnant and actually having the baby like all under the same time. But yeah, no.
All in a year. Who would have thought?
Yeah. It's I have that thought all the time as we get closer to, you know, people are talking about it more and closer to that like March date when shit really hit the fan, at least, you know, kind of in New York and everything. So yeah, it's crazy. It's been a long year.
It has been. But I think it's time to get into the topics for today's show.
Yes, please.
And also we have a great interview that everybody's going to be excited about. I know they will be.
I hope
we were excited about it. No, they'll be excited. We're going to be talking about Jamie Lynn Spears and her rant about Tesla and killing multiple cats. It's a strange story, so buckle up. It's very, very bizarre and interesting. A little update on Armie Hammer. More information has come out. Scott Disick was seen with a cast member from Love Island. And we have news about Bachelor in Paradise. And a certain someone was seen with G-Eazy from The Bachelor. So we'll be talking about that. And we have an interview with James Lafferty and Stephen Coletti. You guys know them. One Tree Hill, Laguna Beach, icons. Great interview. So let's get into it, starting off with Jamie Lynn Spears. Ooh, I know you see me standing here. Do I look good, my dear? Do I look good today? Jamie Lynn Spears posted this odd Instagram story this past weekend in which she blamed Tesla and Elon Musk for the killing of multiple cats. Now, Noah, play the Instagram story because it's quite odd.
I know that there are such bigger things to worry about in the world right now, but somebody's got to let Elon Musk know that the Tesla is a secret cat killer and it's a problem that we've really got to fix. We have now lost, I don't even want to tell you how many cats, because they don't hear the Tesla crank and unfortunate things happen, and it's really devastating and tragic for everyone involved. So, since the Tesla is so quiet, maybe he could, like, make one of those noises that, like, bother cat or animal ears when it cranks up, so that way they know something's happening, and they aren't caught off guard and things don't end in a very tragic way. So, you know, Elon Musk, let's figure this out. I mean, you owe me a couple cats.
And yes, I'm fully aware that there's some user error involved in this, but I'm just saying, you know, collaborate to save some cats' lives.
Who do you want to teach us?
Turkey, your little kitty cat went where?
When she said, I don't even want to tell you how many cats, that was quite concerning.
Yeah,
that was quite dark. Concerning.
It's very bizarre, something that I didn't expect to see. I don't really know how Teslas work. I know they are very quiet, you know, electric cars. I guess maybe when she is turning her Tesla on, maybe the cat is under the car or in the garage, or I'm not quite sure, but it almost seemed like she was being serious, but it also seemed like she was joking at the same time, being like, hey, Elon, like, you owe my family some cats. Like, and I don't know if maybe she thought it was if it was like a joke. And then maybe there was a different kind of reaction to it, because she then backed up and was like, no, cats, I haven't actually run over any cats. She said, I did not run over any cats. Tesla is not to be blamed and was never intended to be. User error is admittedly involved. and we always check for vehicles before moving a car. So it almost sounded like she got like a fucking cease and desist from Tesla. She like had to put out a statement, which I'm sure what didn't happen, but it's that's kind of what it sounded like.
One cat, maybe you can blame Tesla.
It's a, yeah, that one cat.
Multiple cats. When she said, "I don't even want to tell you how many cats," then that seems like a you problem. You not checking under your car for your cats, not you not looking in your mirrors for your cats. Like that seems like,
yeah.
And maybe the cats are jumping behind the car, but that seems odd to happen multiple times. I don't know. This seems like. Listen, I don't want to put Jamie Lynn on the spot here, but this seems like it's a Jamie weird. Lynn issue. It does. It's weird because I also don't even know why you would go public with this. Yeah. Like, why would you go on your Instagram story and be like, yeah. I have now, because even if it is Tesla, it's also her. Like,
right.
She's driving the car. So,
right.
She got on her Instagram story and was like, I've killed multiple cats, basically.
Like, are her kids okay? Like, are her kids just, like, losing their pet cats, like, day in and day out?
I would suggest they either lose the Tesla or they don't get any more cats.
Right. Yeah, that would be that seems to be logical. But then she's like, I didn't actually run over any of the cats, so was it all a lie? Is she just trying to cover it up?
This thing here says... She recommended that Teslas emit noises that bother animals so they move out of the way. And then it says in the same article, Teslas are already required to do this. So, like, it already exists, like, what she's saying they should do. So, like, it sounds like
Teslas already have that technology.
Like, yeah.
It does kind of sound like Jamie Lynn ran over her cats, multiple cats. Because,
yeah, I can't imagine her cats are darting in front of the car, like, all the time. Every time. Like, what's going on there? That's not what's happening.
What I'm stuck on is the I don't even want to tell you how many cats. Because say it was two
cats. That is an absolute unknown number.
Two cats, you would say, if it was one cat, you'd say one cat. Two cats, you would say two cats. Three cats,
three plus is, I think three plus would start, is, yeah.
Yeah,
three that's plus, when you would I start think is when... It. Yeah, three plus I think is when you say like I don't even want to tell you how many cats because right, that's a
like
lot.
I'm thinking at least four or five she ran over, which is far too many.
That's insane.
One cat is far too many, but I could see the it's one traumatizing. Cat incident. You would think after
it's
the second
extremely
one,
extremely traumatizing.
After the second, the first one's traumatizing,
sweet,
right? The first
sweet one, little you, cats.
The first one you can't even believe. This happened. Yeah. Oh my God. What a tragedy. Holy shit. We just ran over the cat or the Tesla ran over the cat. You're like, oh my God, do we get another cat? Then you get another cat and it happens again. Then you're like, oh my God, I'm never getting another cat again, or I'm getting rid of the Tesla. Do you then get a third cat and it happens again? I don't know. It's really hard to digest, actually. The whole thing is very bizarre.
It is. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. And I wish I had some kind of explanation. I don't. We don't know how many cats. We don't know how this was happening. Like, there's no, at first it sounded to me like you're driving down the street and you accidentally, you know, the car is so quiet. You don't realize maybe what ran over a cat by accident. But this seems like an in-house problem. Like, it's like their own cats. I thought maybe it was like somebody else. Like, this seems like it's their cats.
Even if they did run over multiple other people's cats, it would be crazy. You don't run over that many cats.
No, driving. I know. That's why it's very confusing.
That's insane.
Very confusing. Yeah.
You know, this is so random, but somebody I follow, Chantel Jeffries, you know Chantel Jeffries, right?
Yeah.
I follow her on Instagram and she has multiple cats and she also has a Tesla. I'd be interested to hear what she says. Mm. She also did that remix with Jamie Lynn Spears.
That is
did Jamie Lynn Spears run over one of
that's
Chantel
a very
Jeffrey's
bizarre,
cats.
It's a very bizarre connection you just made.
Conspiracy?
But it seems like she would be the one to get answers from about this situation.
Should I DM her and be like, hey, just wondering, what are your thoughts on Teslas and cats?
Yeah. Yeah. Have you had any problems?
Cats, and you also have a Tesla.
And it appears that one Jamie Lynn Spears thinks that Tesla is out here killing cats. So
that would almost be the reason why I'm saying it's not possible, because I feel like Chantel Jeffries would have ran over her cats already.
Yeah. And the cats, you know, tons of people have cats. You would think that if this was a Tesla problem, there would be thousands of people talking about how their Teslas are killing their cats.
Yeah. So Jamie Lynn Spears.
Jamie Lynn Spears.
Bad driver.
Yeah, that kind of seems like what it comes down to. Like, this is more of a her problem.
What happens now, though, now that Jamie Lynn Spears has basically admitted to murdering multiple cats? Is that taking it too far? Is that
No, I don't think so. But she's never going to talk about it again. I don't think. That was, like, the way that last statement read was, like, deny, I didn't do this, it's not Tesla's fault, and like, now she's never going to speak on this matter ever.
You shouldn't be allowed to get another cat at a certain point, though.
Correct. That is also correct. That's just straight up animal endangerment.
You shouldn't be able to have your license after a certain point as well.
Yeah. That too.
After the third cat.
That too. However many cats it is. What's the magic number? We don't know.
We've talked about figs many times before in the past year, also about how much we appreciate our healthcare workers at this time. And right now we have a code for you from Figs. And I think that Figs is the best scrubs in the entire world. Now listen.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
We have some more details about the Armie Hammer situation. It seems like his Finsta, his fake Instagram, has been uncovered with some very, very strange posts from Armie Hammer. I can't believe this man has been walking this earth. First of all, he seems like a fucking monster. And second, I can't believe that he's been posting these on a fake Instagram, on Instagram with his face in it. One of the pictures is his face and he's bragging about how DMT hasn't shown up in his drug tests. Another one is the picture of the drug test saying, you know, there's nothing worse than divorce.
It says, divorce is so fun. Not as fun as drugs, but what is?
I can't put into words what Armie Hammer has been posting on his Instagram, his fake Instagram, especially this other video he posted of his hotel room with a woman in lingerie on the bed. And it's very strange. He's like, the whole thing is,
he's doing like a hotel room tour, but like being like, oh, here's this girl, like all ready to go on the bed that he's not acknowledging, to be like, oh, like this is my hotel room. Nice setup. I read there was a Page Six headline that said that he has a quote unquote God complex, which clearly checks out, because you have to be so deranged. This guy is so fucked up and abusive and terrible that like you have to really be a special kind of a narcissist to like do all this shit, but then also post about it on social media. Like, yes, I understand private account, but like people get into that shit. That's like, to post your face, your person doing these things where it's clearly you, clearly your voice, like you're coming up with these captions, you're writing this shit. Like, he wrote on that video, so I have to go back to Cayman, which sucks, except there are a few silver linings, like fucking Miss Cayman again while I'm down there. Like, it's to the point where like the Miss Cayman pageant, like the organization, came out and said that the woman in the video like has nothing to do with the pageant. That's not actually, you know, Miss Kamen. The whole thing is, it just continues to get worse and worse and worse. And now it just confirms like how horrible he is, that you are so, like I said, such a narcissist that you're like, I'm gonna post about this stuff. I'm gonna put it out there into the universe.
He really seems like a genuinely terrible human being. Like every part of him, everything that we've seen now, everything that's coming out, all these stories, he seems like the worst person, a genuine monster, to be quite honest. And also there's been so many texts now that have been revealed of him and other people where he is like a master manipulator and also just gaslights every single person he talks to. Like the text I was reading before was so bizarre, where this woman was trying to explain to him how she was feeling and what he had did to her and how it affected her, and he was like, can you not involve me? It was very weird how he wouldn't take any responsibility or understand why she was saying he had this effect on her. Like he was like, it doesn't, that's how you're feeling. It doesn't have to do with me. Like what, army? What? He is really just honestly disgusting. And I would hope that somebody, or actually Hollywood in general, would maybe like speak up against this guy and be like, hey, we're done with Armie Hammer, you know, move studios that have worked with him. Maybe people have worked with him. Like, nobody's saying shit. It's just all this shit is coming out about him, and nobody in Hollywood has really said anything that I've seen. Or like, you know, you got Bella Thorne defending him, which is fucking wild, by the way. Like, what is wrong with you? You see all these messages and you don't think to yourself, this possibly like could be real. Because how does somebody come up? And my question is, for the people who think it's fake, how would somebody sit there and come up with these types of messages? If you're making up messages, you don't automatically go to cannibalism. Like, that's insane. So that was my first thought when it was like deciding between if it's real or not. And then all these women coming forward, ex-girlfriends coming forward, and then his Instagrams, old Instagram posts on his main page that were very weird and, you know, eyebrow raising. And then now his fake Instagram, where he just seems like a real piece of shit. I honestly feel really bad for Elizabeth Chambers and their kids, because she didn't know what kind of monster she was dealing with.
Yeah, the Bella Thorne shit, like, I would think she didn't do any research on that. It's just ridiculous to me. Like, maybe read into what is going on if you're going to post something like that. And if she still did that, like reading the statements from ex-girlfriends and seeing some of the messages and just kind of like totally disregarding what these women have said and supporting him instead of supporting these women is bullshit. Like, Bella, come on. That's just so lame, so pathetic. Like, you can't be doing that. Like, it's not just one person. There's so many people. You know, the House of Effie, she's still on Instagram, like posting all these screenshots, posting stories, posting like email exchanges and all these things. And Dumois has been posting more and more, like people submitting stories of how fucked up he's been. And, you know, there was someone sent in, and of course I screenshotted it and it's on my phone, which I can't pull up because I don't have my phone. But it was just like a whole long submission from someone on the island talking about like how he has been such a loose cannon and Elizabeth Chambers has been so great and she's done great things for their community. And he has just been like an absolute disaster. And he's with this woman and, you know, talking about the woman that he's with, or I guess who is maybe he was referring to in that video. And it just is a bad situation. And like we said, day in and day out now for a week straight, more and more continues to come out to support the fact that this guy is a monster. He's terrible. He's absolutely awful. And like, so real, like you said, like if we're in this point where we are given him an out, because I feel like it's almost where his publicist or whoever it is that works for him is like, let's just let all of this come out and make it as bad as possible and look as bad and like make him look as bad. And then we'll send him to rehab. We'll say he learned from his mistakes, and then he'll get to like come back into society and like do shit again. And if that's the case, fuck that. I hate that. Like, that's just like, I saw a couple posts saying things like that, and I just like, damn, if that is what happens, like, I'm going to be so pissed, because that is just such bullshit. Such a cop out.
I agree. I can't see a world where he works again. But also, yeah, when you think about how fucked up some people in Hollywood can be, then you think, I guess it is a possibility he'd work again. I mean, I don't know how anybody could support him or have him be in their movie or their TV show or whatever it may be, give him a job in general. I don't know who would want to work with him when there are so many other talented people out there that are not monsters.
Yeah. And I then mean, you look have at this.
Look at this guy walking around.
Yeah. This had like, so today Phil Spector dies, right? Like, he was a big music producer. He was convicted of killing a woman. Straight up murderer. He died in jail. And like, all headlines and articles are like, famed music producer, like talking about his accolades and his accomplishments and everything he did. And then it's like, they go through it all. And then he's like, oh, and by the way, like, he was convicted of murder, like, for killing him. Like, what? Let's maybe not. Can we word this a little bit better? Like, hey, he fucking killed someone. Like, why are we eulogizing him in this wonderful light? Like, are you kidding?
It's insane the lengths people will go to defend certain people just because of like a talent they have or how famous they are or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, I feel like
cool. He worked with the Beatles and John Lennon had nice things to say about him. He still murdered somebody.
Like,
murder.
Straight up
murder.
Yeah. Like, I feel like people don't realize the sense of the word murder sometimes. Like, oh, he killed somebody. Like, literally, he straight up murdered somebody.
Yep.
I feel like with Bella Thorne, like, Bella, she has really, you know, in my eyes, she's taken a turn. Like, there was a point where we were like rooting for Bella Thorne, and of course sometimes you know we are, but she says some things and does some things, man, where I'm like, you can't defend it. And it's also like, I feel like she thinks, because people have like spread lies about her or whatever it may be, that she's like defending Armie Hammer, because she's like, I know what it's like to like have lies spread about me, and this is all a lie. Armie Hammer's not a cannibal. And it's like, why would you come out and say something like that if you don't know for sure? Like, you don't know Armie Hammer. Or like, why are you coming out?
No reason to get involved in this.
And you're just like throwing yourself in the ring to be like, he's not a cannibal. Meanwhile, there's some serious allegations against him, in which I believe. I believe all these women. I don't think that they would be lying and making up these stories about him. And everything that we've seen come to light matches up. He's insane. Armie Hammer is insane. I don't know how this has gone uncovered for so long, how crazy this man is. And you know what? I was going to say he's probably like on drugs, but he is on drugs. There's no probably. Drugs, he's posting that he's doing DMT and all these drugs. And I mean, play with whatever you want, but I think when you're doing DMT every day, you're probably going to start seeing some shit on the regular, and it's probably going to fuck up your brain.
Yeah. No, he's totally deranged, and it's just, it's ridiculous that it's like that. And you know, obviously the cannibal part of this was shocking, and it's a word that is not thrown around a lot in everyday society, obviously, of people that are fucking cannibals. So it's just like, the shock factor is so crazy. And then when you really like sit with it for a week and see what these women are saying and see what's happening, you're like, okay, this guy got away with so much shit. Rich, well, claims that he's broke now, but at some point, rich, white, handsome man, you know, who has gotten away with everything that he's been doing for so long. And now it's just like, yeah, I'm gonna believe that this is the shit that he was pulling, and especially with all of these women coming out and talking about it. So
we are officially anti-Army Hammer podcast.
I don't know. Yeah, it's like, what exactly is are they going to try and do with him? I don't know.
I just don't understand when these things happen, how people could just run around freely. Like, Armie Hammer is just living. He's probably doing the same thing right now. Like,
it's insane. You would like to think that, like, that would, yeah, there's, but like we said, with the legal situation, it's like, you know, how do you navigate that? Was there shit signed? Was there not shit signed? Like, the system doesn't protect these women to begin with. So how hard, like, is there a case to be, there's so many deeper details that we don't know when it comes to, like, oh, how is this guy just fucking living his life now wherever he is? But I don't know. Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens to him. Scott Disick is hanging out with Y'all Booker from Love Island. I think that this picture confirms a lot of things. He posted this. It did seem like maybe a throwback. Not necessarily a throwback, but it wasn't like, it didn't seem like that dinner was happening that night. But it was Scott, Y'all, and one other guy. And everyone's like, what? Like, is that Y'all from Love Island season 4? Like, what is happening? How do they know each other? But it just goes to confirm more that Scott has something going on with Amelia Gray, Amelia Hamlin. You know, Amelia, her sister Delilah dates Y'all. So it was maybe some kind of hangout, everybody chilling together, Scott, Amelia, Delilah, Y'all. And, you know, we talked about that story of Megan from Love Island putting Scott's DM on blast on her Instagram story, being like, I got this DM from Scott Disick, like, this is wild. And now I kind of think, like, maybe that DM was sent on that night where this picture was taken, where they're all hanging out, having a good time, probably talking about the show or talking about their lives, and Scott's like, yeah, let me just DM her and just, like, fucking get under her skin. Like, I don't know what but It is just a new pal. It just confirms all of those things.
It's definitely very funny to see, just because it's like two worlds colliding. We love Love Island and then the Kardashians, yep. Scott Disick. And also just to see them hanging out and realize he actually did send that DM to Megan.
Definitely.
Like,
did.
When that definitely DM first did. Came out, everyone was like, is that real? And it was definitely real. He sent that DM to Megan, and that just makes me love Scott Disick even more. It was a bizarre DM. And I wouldn't advise him to send it again, but it made me love Scott Disick even more than I already did.
Yeah. And Scott and Amelia does seem like it is a couple that is happening right now. You know, hasn't been all the way confirmed, but the signs are all there. They've been hanging out a lot. There's a lot of connections now between them. And Scott just continues to live his life. I feel like he's living his best life. He's doing what he's doing. Amelia and Delilah are Lisa Rinna and Harry Hamlin's daughters, if you did not know that. And now it's just like hopefully Scott is in a happy place. Everybody's still, it's like the Scott Courtney thing, we're gonna hold on to it forever. Every time Scott comments on one of Courtney's Instagrams, it gets picked up in the media. Like, every single time, it's be like, Scott Disick commented on Courtney's Instagram. Scott Disick commented on Courtney's Instagram. Last week he commented on one of her pictures saying, bow, wow, wow, yippee, oh, yippee, yay. And everyone was freaking out, being like, get back together. But I love that, you know, he comments that shit on her post now, because it makes me think that they are in a great place and they have a good relationship, and Scott can hype Courtney up and and be like, yeah, like, way to go, Courtney. You look fucking great. And like, they can co-parent and live their lives. And Scott can also date whoever he wants as well.
Yeah, I think it's great. I feel like we've always been like, hey, Courtney and Scott, please get back together. Oh my God, he commented.
I mean, I still think
flirty.
I still think that.
Obviously we think that. I feel like every time he commented something flirty, we would be like, oh my gosh, are they getting back together?
Yeah.
Whereas now it just seems like they have a great relationship. They have a friendly relationship, maybe a little flirty one in the sense of just being friends. Yeah. So they can flirt like that. You know, they have that past relationship to go back on. And I love that they can do that with each other. So it's comfortable for their kids. Everyone seems comfortable and like they get along. So although we are rooting for Scott and Courtney to get back together, I don't think it's going to happen. Maybe later on in life when they're old and aged and or just want to settle down and get married and, you know, they have their kids together. But for right now, it seems like Scott Disick likes to date younger women, and that's where he's going to stay.
Robert Mills this week confirmed that they are, quote, very confident that Bachelor in Paradise will be returning this summer. Everybody's been dying for Paradise to come back, and hopefully they can make it happen. It's crazy how many people they are going to have to choose from to be on this coming season. He had said that, you know, it's potentially like 150 people to choose from. It's insane. But it is fantastic news to hear that, you know, hopefully it's in Mexico. It might not be, depending on, you know, obviously just like the what state the world is in and where they can film and where they can't, and that whole thing. But it is great news that it does seem like it will be coming back somehow.
Thank God. I love Bachelor in Paradise. It's, you know, the Bachelor and Bachelorette are great.
Yeah.
I think I would rank it The Bachelor, Bachelor in Paradise, and then The Bachelorette in order of franchises I like to watch.
Yeah.
Bachelor in Paradise is just great because you get all the fan favorites in one place. You're familiar with the people. You're not introduced to anybody new. You know them. You love them. You hate them. And you just get to watch them all interact with each other. It's like seeing the different cast members from different seasons get together warms my heart. And you never know who's going to end up with who.
Yeah, exactly. Paradise has such great drama, and you Bachelor and Bachelorette, like, you create the connections to these people because you're watching them for the first time. And then when they go to Paradise, the connection is even stronger because now you feel like you know these people and you're rooting for the ones you like so hard to fall in love. Like, you're just like, yes, please. Like, Dylan and Hannah, you were just like, yes, please fall in love. Like, people feel so strongly about it and it gets so intense. And we obviously have seen couples thrive and fall in love and start families from this show. I mean, we've also seen now couples break up from the show, but the number of people that they have to choose from, like, I don't know how they are going to do this, because I was just looking at the names from like Peter season and like the Clarentatia season. And on top of that, we'll have Matt season, and all of these girls are fantastic. So people are going to want to see them in Paradise. And there will probably be a new, like, normally it goes Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise. So we have a Bachelorette season. We meet a whole new group of guys. And we would have them. And that's also where there's even more of like the recency bias, because we just watched that season. So everybody wants to see those guys again quickly. So from like, and also just so many of Peter's exes, like Peter, I feel like everyone's going to want to see Hannah Ann. They're going to want to see Madison. They're going to want to see some of these girls that maybe, like, I don't know if they would go on Paradise or not. I don't know why they wouldn't. I feel like they absolutely would, but there's so many names, so many.
I want to see Peter and Hannah Brown on there. Like, I know. Even give me that. Me Peter with all of his exes, Madison, Hannah Ann, Kelly, and Hannah Brown. Please. Yeah. That's an unreal Bachelor in Paradise season right there.
Yeah. I mean, just like we could have like Alea, Hannah Ann, Kelsey, Madison. I don't know if Kelly would go on at this point. I feel like maybe it's a little fresh, but who knows? Madison, Sydney, Tammy, Victoria F, Victoria P. And then there's like the contestants. There's like contestants that people didn't really get to see a lot of that I feel like have a chance that maybe went home a little bit earlier, like Lexi, Alexa. McKenna's probably going to be there. I hope Sarah C, who is, I love, she's like the sweetest girl. I hope she would get invited, but there's so many people. Claire and Tayshia, you got Noah, Bennett, Blake Moynes is definitely going to paradise. Damar, I feel like Ed's definitely going to paradise. Maybe then you go, like, you got the people who went the farthest, right? Ivan, Brendan, some of those ones. And then the ones who got sent home, you want to see Dr. Joe. You want to see, I kind of want the OG Tyler C to get another, I'm not the OG, the second Tyler C to get another shot because he got screwed. The name, like I said, so imagine there's all these people and Matt's season and another season of Bachelorette. Like so many people are going to get screwed. Like, and if they want to dip into even past, you know, further seasons away, I don't know how they're going to do it. I just think they should do a mega season. Like just, like expand the cast, bring in, make it even longer, make it go all summer long. Like we want it give it to us because they just have too many people.
But then if you get too many people in one space, then it might not be, then you're not making any connections because there's connections too many people to know.
Yeah. But there's too many people to meet. You might not be able to make it. Yeah. So it's going to be very interesting. And then also, we'll mention it. We're definitely going to talk about it with Trent on the recap this week as well. But everybody was talking about Sarah because it seems like there has been some rumor circulating that Sarah has been trying to live that influencer life that, like, yes, she did quit her job to take care of her dad, but that was maybe a couple years ago. I don't really know the exact timeline, but there are rumors that she, you know, has been living in LA and it was a little bit more of like trying to have that influencer IG life. There's pictures of her hanging out with G-Eazy in March that everybody was freaking out about. Everyone was like, that's Sarah, right? Like that's totally Sarah. So I don't know. It sucks because like we said, at this point, I don't really know who's going on the Bachelor or Bachelorette. Like, yes, I think it's always, hey, maybe I'll fall in love and that would be amazing. But then like right on top, it's like, and this'll like make me kind of famous. I'm like, you know, it's just, there's no way you don't factor that in now when you go on this show.
All I'll say is I don't trust anybody who gets fooled by G-Eazy's charm.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Yep. That's it. I mean, when I saw those pictures, I was like, oh, that's all it's going to take. Sarah's done. Rhea will never let her come back from this. G-Eazy, forget it.
I was rooting for Sarah. I was. We were all rooting for Sarah.
G-Eazy.
But I don't like G-Eazy, and I don't think he's a good guy. And now that he's involved,
that's it.
It shows me something. It may show me something about Sarah.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody's freaking out. It's the here for the right reason situation, which I very much understand. So I don't know.
If you're fucking G-Eazy, you are not there for the right reasons. Now I'm getting riled up. I was trying to be calm about it. There is no way that you can fuck G-Eazy and then say that you're this like, oh, I'm here for the right reasons. I just want to fall in love. No, you want to fuck G-Eazy. Right. He definitely doesn't want to fall in love.
Right. You can't come on the show and then not be honest about like, I get it when those are the reasons for coming on, but when you go on, you're like, oh, I'm just so desperate to fall in love with Matt. Like, then you're like, all right, now you sound like you're just lying now because that's not why you came on. Like, yes, Matt is amazing and a perk, like, but clearly there are some other motives here.
I feel like whenever I talk about G-Eazy, it sounds like I like got rejected by G-Eazy or something.
Yeah. But that's you do sound like you were spited a little bit.
Right. I'm like, fuck Cheesy. No, I think he's a bad guy. I get really, really bad vibes from G-Eazy, and I love Halsey, and the way that she's spoken about G-Eazy just makes me hate him, and the other stories that I've heard about G-Eazy really makes me not like him. I've never heard a good thing. I've only heard that he is an absolute scumbag. So I get bad vibes when people hang out with G-Eazy.
Yeah. I you have said it before and it makes sense. So I'm pretty sure that's just how it's gonna go. I'm interested to see Trent's opinion on this. We will definitely discuss it again on Wednesday. I don't need to be anything other than a prison guard sign. I don't need to be anything other than a specialist sign. The two souls in one. What I wear, I'm going. It's nowhere where. We have a great interview with James Lafferty and Stephen Coletti. But before we start, guys, as always, the official beer of Chicks in the Office, Coors Light. Make sure it's the beer that you reach for when you need some time to relax, to chill. It's literally the beer that's made to chill, and we say it all the time, but it really is, because right now there's just, you know, there's so much going on.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Cheers. Thank you guys.
Thank you guys so much.
The world's most refreshing podcast.
Mm. Yes.
We are here with two very special guests, James Lafferty and Stephen Coletti. Welcome to the show. They have a new project coming out on Hulu. Everyone is doing great. Premieres January 13th. Two people that we have been a fan of for a very long time. So thank you for joining the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Fan of you guys.
Glad to be here.
All the content at Barstool's kept us entertained for at least for me for a while now. So congratulations to you guys on your guys' success.
Thank you. Appreciate that. You know, us and our coworkers have definitely tried very hard to keep people entertained these last these last few months. I mean, basically the whole last year of just random things that worked. So glad that it did work.
You guys are content behemoths.
Yeah, and Stephen, you have given us content, actually, because we've talked about you a lot in the past few months. Not gonna lie.
Oh no.
We'll get to it. But first,
all good things.
Let's talk about this new project you guys have been working on. You started it, you wrote it, you produced it. Let everyone know what this is to you guys. And it's going to be on Hulu, which is it's my favorite streaming service. I talk about it every time. It's my favorite one. So let's hear about this.
Oh, okay. I'll go. That's cool that you said that, because Hulu has been our favorite streaming service for a long time. We just love the content that's there. And as we were developing the project, we always kind of felt like we were making our show to be on Hulu. Like that's, you know, we always wanted to make a show that we would want to watch. And most of the things we want to watch are on that platform. So we're really grateful to be there. And, you know, as far as what this is, everyone is doing great. It's a labor of love that we've been working on for the past few years with our sort of filmmaker family here of, you know, friends and colleagues that we've worked with in the past. And, we pulled it together independently. We shot a pilot that was about three people that were on an Eternal, a show called Eternal, which was like a Vampire Diaries type show. It was like a huge success, but now it's 5 years later. And the three leads of the show, Andrea, Jeremy, and Seth, they're still really tied together, you know, but they also, in being tied together, they're really tied to their past. And they're reaching this time in their lives when everything's sort of changing for them in their early 30s, and they're realizing they don't know nearly as much about life, or, you know, have the I guess, have the capacity to deal with what life's throwing at them in the way that they did when they were younger. And so really the show's about, you know, these three cast members sort of leaning on each other, but also sort of pulling each other down in these ways and all the, you know, comedy that comes from that friction.
It's really, really cool. It's a great idea. I mean, it makes a lot of sense because it feels like it is pulling from obviously real life things for you guys of coming off like a hit show and just trying to do different things, do different projects. And I will say, I do remember like when you guys first did this and I saw on Instagram you guys posting about it, I was like, this is a great idea. Like, I really hope a streaming service picks it up or something like this. I mean, you guys have been working on this since what, 2018, even before that, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. We were just hoping to shoot the rest of the season, and it was that was kind of the first hurdle after we shot the pilot. And that, I mean, we felt pretty strongly about just the potential of the show after shooting that. And again, like James said, just getting this, you know, pulling favors, getting friends, family, everyone on board, like, hey, help us out. We want to make this show. And that experience, you know, worked out pretty well. And so to take that next leap of faith, it was like, you know what, we can take it out to the industry, which we did a little bit to see if we can get interest. Basically, no one was like, meh, we're good. So we're like, you know what, we really want to make this thing. What can we do? And there's some great TV festivals out there, kind of like where indie film was a little back in the day. We were able to get in there. ATX in Austin took us on as like the only independent pilot. And that's where we launched this crowdfunding campaign. And so we just, from there, we're, you know, like, let's get, you know, people around this and maybe they get a little taste, they'll be interested. You know, to have them come on board, really not knowing exactly where this was going to end up or what we were kind of doing, was really nice. But again, we had this, like, James had worked with these filmmakers, done a couple of movies with them, the Nelms brothers, Michelle Lange, Johnny Durango. It was like this little filmmaker family. And they were, you know, helped get behind us and you know, filmed all the crap that we didn't know, you know, all these weaknesses that we had trying to create something on our own. They were able to come in and kind of lift us up and like propel us through, you know, shooting that pilot and having a good experience on that. And then saying, you know what, fuck it. Let's crowdfund and make the whole season and see what happens. Can I cuss on here?
Yeah, sure can. Yeah.
Trust me, I got it covered for all of us. But that's awesome. And I love how involved you guys are in this show, like from all different angles. You know, you're in it, you wrote it, you produced it, you really just like threw yourselves into it, directed it. And I feel like that's got to be way different than what you guys were probably used to, right? You're put on a show, you're told what to do, and that's that. But now you guys have total control, or, you know, most control. Yeah. Now Hulu's kind of in charge now, but
yeah, I mean, that was one of the really cool things about it was that we were able to make the show that we wanted to make it from the beginning. That was also another really attractive thing about the idea of crowdfunding and sort of making it ourselves was that we had a really specific vision for how we wanted it to look and to feel. And that this process allowed us to execute that way, but it's much different than just being an actor and showing up to set and having everything kind of happen around you. You know, you're when you're producing and directing and writing and all this stuff, it's like you really are wearing too many hats. And I think ideally for both of us, you know, we wouldn't have had to wear so many hats. It was just that we were literally operating on this shoestring budget and we had very few resources. So, you know, that's one of the things I feel like we like looking forward, we would love to wear less hats and do, yeah, you know, and delegate a little bit because it would make our lives a lot easier and it would make it just a lot more fun to sort of just easier to settle into the creative process of being an actor and being in front of the camera. Because yeah, it is a challenge to sort of, you know, be focused in your scene with the actor that's sitting across from you when you are at the same time thinking about everything that's going on around you. It's a totally different world for sure.
Yeah. You're jumping all over the place, but it shows how talented you guys really are.
Appreciate that. I remember at the end of the day, like some of these days at the end of the day, I'd feel like, oh, I am way in over my head here. Like you get in after like a long day of shooting. And then, you know, there's just a laundry list of emails and things to attend to on the producing side and then prepare everything for the next day. It was really this crash course and something that was like almost careful what you wish for. It was wonderful to like have the opportunity, but we're like, man, am I going to enjoy this at some point? Cause I'm fucking exhausted.
Yeah.
Was this done before like lockdown and quarantine hit? Did you guys shoot all of this?
Yeah, we shot it all at the end of 2018, right up until the holidays there. And then 2019, we started editing it, James and I, and did it through the year. It was a little slow because we had these, one of the big perks for our campaign were these like kind of Skype sessions. It's just a little like, you know, hang out for 20 minutes. And those you know, proved to be pretty lucrative for us as far as getting money in the campaign. But we had to stop every day for like 3 months and do 2 half-hour or 20-minute Skype sessions to meet these people. So we'd edit for a while and then stop, do this, and then and continue on editing. So it definitely took us some time to get through all of that and all the other stuff that we had to fulfill for the perks and whatnot. But yeah, just basically editing all the way through 2019 and then the end of 2019 and all of last year trying to sell it. So
yeah.
And now it's almost like you got to relax a little bit after, I bet, with the lockdown and everything, just kind of like, whew, in some sense.
Yeah. I mean, I
was like, not really.
Go ahead, James.
Oh, no. I mean, I think there's, you know, I think this is like just so indicative of the entire process. Like every time we get to a certain benchmark or milestone, we think like, okay, we've made it past this part. Now it's all going to be smooth sailing. But there's always work to be done. There's always new things and new challenges and new curveballs. Like even once you are, you know, the day before you're being distributed, like there's other things going on that are integral to the process of releasing the show and that we hadn't anticipated because we as actors in the past have always just been sitting at home oblivious to all this stuff going on while somebody else is doing it. But now we're doing it and we're like, oh, wow, there really is a lot of work in making a TV show, I guess. I guess there's a reason people don't do this very often independently. but I will say like yes, it is a huge relief to just know that the show is going to be streaming on Hulu. A, because it's Hulu. B, because I think the toughest thing about the whole process was the uncertainty of it all, of just like doing all the work and believing the project so much, but really having no idea where the road led. And now that we know where the road leads and it's going to come out and people, we're actually going to get some feedback on what we did that, man, yeah, that feels really good.
Yeah.
We were kind of going a little stir crazy through, quarantine where once we partnered up with Endeavor Content, who was taking the show out for us, like we just really had to sit back and wait. And we weren't really used to doing that in this process because it's always been just, you know, on to the next thing, get this thing made, get it edited, all that. And then suddenly it was somebody else's baby to take care of. And so, you know, you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs, like trying not to think like, all right, are they doing, like, how are they selling it? Are they pitching it? Like, what's the package look like? Trying to, you know, basically think about their job for them. Yeah, thankfully we're on the other side of that now.
Yeah, you guys, it sounds like you guys poured your heart and soul into this show. So how can you guys talk me through like getting the call from Hulu? Like, when did you guys know that this show was going to be on everyone's screens, everybody's phones, whatever, however you watch Hulu? Because it sounds like you said, you kind of had to sit and wait for the call to come. So how did that happen and how did you guys react?
Yeah, that's actually a really cool story. Before we actually sold to Hulu, like we'll just rewind a couple months. It was the beginning of 2019 and we had tried every which way to sell the show, but there was really no template for selling a finished TV show. And our reps were, and our whole team, like everybody was doing everything they could. They believed in the show, but at the end of the day, it was like, what do we do with this? Nobody out there is looking to buy a finished TV show. So how do we sell it? Like, how do we get past the gatekeepers here? And we had sort of given up. We were ready to self-distribute and we were about 2 weeks away from actually just, you know, pressing the button on launching it on, you know, for VOD basically, right. Renting the episodes, things like that. And then my brother, who's a producer on the show, Stuart, he had a producer friend who had worked with this company, Endeavor Content, who are this huge sales agency and they do a lot of great work. And so my brother's producer friend connected him with an agent because this agent was like, you know, I think I could do something with a finished TV show now because there's nobody making anything because, you know, we're in March, April right now. We're in a lockdown. All productions have stopped. All of these streamers are going to be, they're going to have a hole in their scheduling come the end of 2020, beginning of 2021. So he watched this agent at Endeavor, watched our pilot and saw a lot of promise in it, watched the episodes. And, you know, from there we had this agency finally that could sell the show. And it was like, okay, all right, we're not going to self-distribute anymore. Put that on hold. And then we waited for about another, I'd say like 6 months while Endeavor sort of shopped the show to like 17 different places. And those were some grueling, yeah, those were the toughest months, I think, because, you know, it was just like watching that list of places that, that you know, potential buyers just shrink and shrink and shrink and shrink and shrink until it's like down to Hulu. And then I remember being, I remember just like being at the park with my dog and my fiance, Alex. And I just like laid down on the grass, like face down, like my hands and legs spread out. And she was just like, are you okay? I've never seen you like this. And I was like, I don't know if I'm okay. Like, I don't even know what's happening right now. I was sort of destitute. And then I'm not kidding, 30 seconds later, my phone just goes bling. And I picked it up and Alex was across the park at this point and she heard it. So she comes over, she was like, what's going on? And I was like, Hulu made an offer. And she was like, I knew it. I knew it. As soon as I heard that email sound, I knew that's what it was. It was a crazy, crazy moment. It was almost as if the universe was like, no, you are going to be, we're just going to punish you to the very last second. We're going to wait until you have completely given up to actually.
Yeah, you had to be face down in the dirt for them to be like, okay, yeah. now we can call him.
Fine, we'll give it to him. Somebody from Hulu was in the park and saw you and they're like, exactly. This guy's on the edge. Like, we got to give him the show.
That's perfect. But
that's awesome. I honestly got chills listening to that. And like mm-hmm. I said, I fucking love Hulu. I think that Hulu is like, mm-hmm. you know, Netflix is great, but I personally like have this thing with Hulu that I just love the shows they put out. I love the old content that they put on Hulu. I just feel like they have everything. And that's yeah. like the perfect place to be. That's a dream scenario, your show getting picked up on Hulu. And especially at this time, like you said, there's like a lull period of, you know, the people didn't get to finish their shows. Second seasons of shows were supposed to be filming and coming out. And it's the perfect time for the show to come out. Everyone could just relax and watch it and stream it.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping. I remember when James was sitting in that park and he had gotten, I guess, the email for Hulu. I had like a day where I was actually taking my mind off of things. My nieces were in town and it was one of those things where, and James and I talked about this later, where we were kind of like, felt like something was wrong for a while, you know, something was just kind of like this cloud following us around. But that day was actually like kind of a release. I was hanging out with my nieces and at the very end, it was like 6:30 PM and I was sitting at the dining room table at my parents' house with them drinking orange juice. I don't drink orange juice. I don't like orange juice, but we were drinking orange juice. And James is FaceTiming me. And I'm like, why is James FaceTiming me? And I was like, he never FaceTimes me. And I kind of was like, put it down. I'm like, well, I should probably answer it. So I answer it. And he's like, you know, you check the email. And I was like, he tells me right then and there. And I just started wildly swearing right in front of my nieces who are 4 and 6 years old. And then I started to apologize to them. And in those sentences, apologizing to them, I was also swearing, you know, like a sailor. So it was definitely one of those moments that you won't forget for sure.
Yeah. I'm so fucking sorry. I'm just so fucking excited. Like,
holy fucking shit. Holy fucking shit. Oh my God. Yeah. So fucking sorry. So fucking sorry. Yeah. So fucking sorry.
You know what? They got to understand. It's a very exciting
they
moment.
Were just
gotta,
laughing.
It's just going to happen.
Yeah. They just giggled at me.
Steven turned the camera around on them and they were like this.
Yeah, they just had a straw with their orange juice. Like, this guy's weird.
No, they got a lesson. When you're excited, you're allowed to curse.
There you go. Yeah. I like
that. That was but great.
You guys have both been on shows in the past that we have been big fans of. Obviously, you were both on One Tree Hill, which is that how you guys have stayed close?
Yeah, we met. We're a couple just young knuckleheads in our early 20s when we first met on that show.
Yeah, we've had a few of the cast members on recently, actually. Chad Michael Murray was on like a few weeks ago, and Hillary Burton. And I ask everybody the same question because I'm very curious about the way people feel about like iconic roles they were a part of when they were younger. And then, you know, people always associate you with that role and it's always talked about. How do you guys...
Kind of sounds like this TV show, too.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about the time you spent on One Tree Hill and then the aftermath of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question because I think Yeah, it can be sort of it can be viewed as like a double-edged sword, I guess. It's like, it might be difficult for you to be seen as something else after you're part of something that was, you know, that was as beloved as One Tree Hill. And that is definitely something that we explore in the show. You know, it's like, how do you actually move on to that when so much of your identity is wrapped up in it? But at the same time, like, the reality is, for me personally, you know, I look back on that experience so fondly because I was so young when I started the show, and I learned so much on the show, and I had my first opportunities to direct. And, you know, I had never lived anywhere else but Hemet, California, where I grew up. And, you know, to be able to move to the East Coast and live in a town like Wilmington, which is so wonderful, you know, I just felt like I grew up on that show in a lot of ways. And then when I stopped the show, I had a lot more growing up to do. And so, yeah, it's really cool. Like, I look back on it fondly, and I think, you know, I'm really grateful for the experience.
Are you happy that social media wasn't around when One Tree Hill was really big? It's really big because obviously the streaming services, but I feel like you both got very famous in a time where it was, you know, media outlets and tabloids are writing about you, but social media isn't necessarily like a thing.
James is pretty pissed that he's not a TikTok star.
Yeah.
You probably could be.
He missed his calling there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so funny.
No, I feel it's funny. I always talk about that with friends from high school. It was like, you know, I think Facebook came around right when we hit college. I understand the irony of me saying this. I was happy that there was not social media when we were in high school, just for that whole, just the aspect of the pressure of all of that and, you know, it kind of consuming everyone's lives now. But, you know, I also did a reality show about my high school life. So there's like, yeah, maybe you wish there was social media, buddy. Would have been a little more tame.
Or a little more wild.
Yeah, it could have been worse.
Yeah, good point. Good point, actually.
Yeah. And, you know, the streaming services, like you said, the streaming services are so great because, you know, we get projects like yours now that we can all watch. And on top of that, it's interesting just to like deeply think about it, right? Because you guys have made the show where you're these actors are moving on with their lives from this big show that they can't really shake. But with the streaming services now, it's really even more hard to shake it because you can go back and watch One Tree Hill a million times, which is, you know, something Rhea and I have done before. You can go back
and watch Beach.
You can watch Laguna Beach and be like, wow. And you watch Laguna Beach for the first time and you're like, you think you're watching you now, but it's you in high school. And so it's like, even, I think that even makes it harder sometimes for new projects and new perspectives to be seen. Like, cause it's, you know, you think Chase, you think Nathan, you see these characters, you have these kids who watch One Tree Hill for the first time they're in high school. Now they're getting to watch for the first time. So I really like I love the whole premise of Everyone Is Doing Great. I think it sounds really exciting and really, really interesting because you guys are the kind of the prime example of, like, I'm sure you get, when you're walking around, like, do you get Nathan? Do you get Chase, like, stopped all the time when people are, well, maybe Steven. I feel like Steven.
I feel like you just get like,
because Steven has his reality TV, like Steven.
Yeah. We get Kristen's Steven from time to time.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We feel like James and I have talked about this in the show. Like, these characters, we wanted them to come from like a seriously larger than life show, like number one in the zeitgeist, like Twilight, you know, a comparison for
right.
Or Vampire Diaries. And I don't know, it feel like it's just never been that crazy for me, or I feel that way. So, you know, I feel like it's, you know, it's not something that, you know, was ever overwhelming where like at the grocery store all the time, you're getting recognized. But we wanted to play with that idea in the show. That's what we did with making these characters, the characters that they played on their show within the show, larger than life. And then really having like basically quite a fall from that point. So that's what we did, but it's, you know, we could obviously relate in a way, and we know the world well. That's why we felt like it was important for us to set it in this world. We know the entertainment industry. We know what it's like to be on a teen drama. But like, thankfully, you know, over the years, like, you know, it's nice to see people still appreciate One Tree Hill or people that, you know, we're close to Laguna Beach to have like a moment in time, I guess, when they watch that or it's a comfortable place for them or it brings them some sort of joy, maybe, I hope. But, yeah. You know, so I think that it's, you know, we're grateful to have that. We've also, you know, moved on with our lives to be able to do other projects, other shows, films, TV, and stuff like that. So, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing to feel like there was this one thing where people can't shake that they know you from. I don't think it's a bad thing.
Yeah, it's like almost like a comfort thing. It makes other people feel comfortable in some way. And Steven, I mentioned in the beginning of this interview that
sorry. Someone's at my door. Should I answer it?
No, I mean, could be somebody good. I don't know. Sure, answer it.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, it's fine. I mentioned that we had been talking about you in recent months because of Kristen Cavallari, obviously. You guys were like hyping it up on social media. I feel like Kristen got back into the... She knows how to make people talk about her, you know, has been in the reality TV game for a long time. She posted that picture of you two, went on Instagram Live, said you were the best kisser. people were like, oh, we need Steven and Kristen back together. What were your thoughts on that whole thing?
I think that the picture caught me off guard as far as the response. I had to turn my cell phone off there for the day. It was overwhelming. It was weird because it was just like, you know, you already feel uncomfortable about random numbers calling your private numbers. You're like, you know, you'd look at it and you're like, who is this? What's happening kind of nonstop all day. And then like random people coming out of the woodwork texting me like, hey man, how are you? What's up? You dating anybody? Like honestly doing it, thinking that I'm not, you know, getting what they're saying, you know, like, oh, really cool. All right. Anything like, do you have anything serious going on dating wise? And I'm just like, is this person just think I'm an idiot? I'm like, is, you know? So a lot of uncomfort in that area. But Kristen's doing her thing. It was good to see her. We have a good friendship after all these years. So it's nice.
That's good to hear.
It definitely is, because it ties back to, you know, you can watch all these shows forever. And so people still tie you guys together. It was so long ago. It's just like, but that's
the connection. I told her she owes me another dinner. I was like, she owes me dinner. Right. I bought dinner when we hung up, but I was like, after that, I lost a day of work because of you. I threw my phone off. So you owe me dinner.
Yeah. Yeah.
That and is then very, she'll post very another fair. Picture of you guys at dinner and then the cycle will start again.
It just is never ending, but it was definitely gave us, you know, some good quarantine entertainment. You know, we were just like you
sorry,
said. But yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What we do.
Okay. James, you work on this show with your now fiance. And I think that's really, really cool. She seems fantastic. How did you guys meet? Like, because I think it was from on the Royals, right? The set of the Royals.
Yeah. So we met while I was directing on the Royals. She was obviously starring, and I directed successive episodes of that show in successive seasons after that. And we just, we got really close and that's how we started our relationship. And then she was just totally, you know, a natural fit for Everyone Is Doing Great, because she really helped us pull it together. I mean, it was her that was in my ear going, why don't you write something that we can just shoot together, you know, like that we can just shoot on our own with our own money. And, you know, that way we don't have to keep going down this road of like, you know, writing scripts and pitching and just getting rejected at the door. Like we could just make something. And so she was an integral part of the process from the beginning. And then to go on and shoot, you know, continue shooting the season and build her character more and more through each of the episodes was just, it was just awesome. You know, it was really great that I already had the experience of working with her, you know, because that made things very easy on set. I think it could have been kind of nerve wracking to work with your fiance for the very first time ever while, you know, everybody's pulling together an indie production. But we, you know, thankfully, just like the rest of us in this whole process, we'd had a lot of experience working together already.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear, because I feel like there's sometimes like a negative connotation working with your significant other. I work with my boyfriend in the same place and everyone always asks us like, oh, that must be miserable. I'm like, no, it's really not. So when you can make it work, it's always a great thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, times are changing, I guess. You know what I mean? I could see how maybe like from a, like the days of yore, that might've been stigmatized or something, but nowadays, everybody, we all just have so much to bring to the table that I just don't see why you wouldn't do it. Unless you really had different creative sensibilities, then I would say maybe it's not a good idea. But when you share creative sensibilities with the people that are close to you, it can be the most wonderful experience to actually create together.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. And, we'll wrap up quickly. I do have one final One Tree Hill question. And like Rhea said, because we have had, Chad, we had Hillary. And
don't
it's funny
scare
because,
them, Fran.
No. I'm not going to scare them. But I'm just saying, it's funny because the people who listen to our interviews are like, guys, stop asking all the same questions. It's so interesting to hear it from you guys and your characters because it is such a beloved show. Where do you think in this year or in their future, Nathan would be right now and Chase would be right now? What do you guys think? Or what would your dream situation be for those characters?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess they'd be quarantining.
Yeah. yeah. Safe.
Nathan and Haley probably have like 7 kids right now. And they might be regretting it because they can't leave the house.
I feel like Chase would be in a lot of trouble right now because he would have hopefully a couple of bars under his belt at this point after moving on up from bar manager to the bar owner at the end of the run there. And now that we can't do that, and obviously seeing live music is difficult now. So I would see that, but I'd see him getting creative about it. I think he would be the one hosting like outdoor shows, parking lot shows, setting up a stage outside. And you can almost picture all the friends rallying around trying to get people to keep Trick alive.
Yeah. Wow. And then the Barstool Fund steps in.
Yeah, I see the episode already.
There you go, the Barstool Fund.
Then that steps in. It's a whole thing.
That's great. That's all you guys are doing with the Barstool Fund. That's really awesome. It's good work.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
these Erica are doing a great thing.
Lot of money.
They really are. They really are. Yeah, it's been crazy, crazy impressive, and everyone that's working on it is working their asses off. But yeah, that's a crossover to think that the Barstool Fund might have had to come in and save Trick.
I like that.
I feel like
Chase also had so many famous friends, though. It's like between Alex and then and Brooke, like he would be able to, maybe the Barstool Fund would go elsewhere. He'd be able to
they donate.
I don't want to take away from that. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Everyone go stream. Everyone is doing great on Hulu. However you watch Hulu, go watch the show. We're super excited about it. And thank you guys so much for coming to talk to us.
Appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you guys.
All
right, we'll see you.
See ya.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, that wraps up today's episode of Chicks in the Office. We hope that you had a wonderful weekend, ready to start this week back up, and we will talk to you on Wednesday for the Bachelor recap. Love you guys. Bye. It ain't hard to tell. I excel, then prevail. The mic is contacted. I attract clientele. My mic check is life or death, breathing a sniper's breath. I exhale the yellow smoke of Buddha through righteous steps, deep like the shining. Sparkle like a diamond, sneaker Uzi on an Allen, and my army jacket lining hit the earth like a comet invasion. Nazis like the Afrocentric Asian, half man, half amazing. Cause in my physical, I can't express through song. Delete stress like Motrin, then extend strong. I drink my wet with Medusa, give us shotguns in hell. From the spliff that I lived in hell, it ain't hard to tell. Salute up, parties are street up. Nas are analyzed, drop a jewel. Inhale from the L, school of full well. You feel it like
I kick a skill like Shaquille holds a bill. Vocabulary spills, I'm ill. Plasmatic, I freak beat, slam it like Iron Sheik. Jam like a tech with correct techniques. So analyze me, surprise me, but can't magnetize me. Scanning while you're planning ways to sabotage me. I leave a froze like heroin in your nose. Nas a Rockwell, it ain't hard to tell. Frame of mind is chosen, I leave your brain stimulated, niggas is frozen, speak with criminal slang, begin like a violin, end like Leviathan, is deep, well let me try again, wisdom be leaking out my grapefruit truth, I dominate break loops, giving Mike's ministry cycles, streets disciple, I rock beats this mega trifle, and groove even smoother than moves by Villanova, you're still a soldier, I'm like Sly Stone and Cobra, packing like a roster in the weed spot, vocals are squeezed Glocks, MCZs drop, though they need not to sneak, my poetry's deep, I never fail. Nas's rap should be locked in a cell. It ain't hard to tell.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.